We're glad you're here. Our MPEGs are not working. They never work when we want them to, and that's just fine. You know, we are talking about some of the claims that have been made by Dan Brown in the Da Vinci Code. Anybody see the movie this last week that hadn't seen it? Anybody else see it? Okay, just a couple more people. And we're talking about the claims in this book. We've talked about a bunch of the things that he talked about in the very first week. We went through about 12 different claims that were made in the Da Vinci Code. Last week we talked about the Bible. Is the Bible from God? Is it trustworthy? And that's pretty important. But honestly, tonight what we're going to talk about, I think, is the most important thing that Dan Brown comes against. The most important thing in the Christian faith. I believe this. If Dan Brown is correct in what he says in this book and what we're going to talk about tonight, if he's correct, then none of us are heaven bound. None of us are heaven bound. We don't say amen to that because he's wrong. Heaven bound. We're not that. If Jesus isn't God, listen to me, then you and I are not going to heaven. We're not going there. Our faith is in vain. Completely in vain, because only God, listen to me, only a perfect sacrifice, which is God, can pay for your sins. He had to be God. And if he's not, if Dan Brown is right, and Jesus is not God, he was just a mortal man who taught some good stuff, then you and I are bound for hell. It's a pretty important topic. And if you had to stand up here tonight and give a defense for the deity of Jesus Christ, if I invited you or picked you out of the crowd, which, don't worry, I'm not going to do, and said, you give a defense tonight for 40 minutes on the deity of Jesus Christ, why we can know for sure that he's God, and therefore we can know we're heaven bound. Well, if you can't do that, then hopefully by the end of tonight, you'll have some more ammunition, because I'm going to give it to you. Because we can know for sure. We can know for sure. You know, is Jesus God? You know, anybody can claim to be God, right? Anybody can claim to be God. Matter of fact, if you happen to be in Florida, in Lake City, Florida, and you see a guy that's 50-ish, and he's got a sandy brown beard, and he's kind of balding a little bit. He's an ex-vet, and he looks, you know, somewhat like this, if that's up there, which is not. If it looks kind of like that, then you have the honor and the privilege to be standing next to I am who I am. The great I am is in your midst. Because this guy's name is I am who I am. He changed it from Charles Haffey a few years back. And the reason he chose I am who I am is because the circuit court judge had just denied him a name change to be called God. That's what he wanted his name to be. Charles Haffey is the great I am. Claims to be God. You know, people can say whatever they want, can't they? A lot of people have claimed to be God. But you know what? It doesn't change my eternal destiny, does it? You know, to claim it is one thing, but to actually be God, that's an amazing thing. Here's our concern with the Da Vinci Code. Again, Dan Brown can write whatever he wants. We're not afraid of this book. We're not going to have a book burning at the end of this series. He can write whatever he wants. He's writing fiction. Here's the concern, though, is that he claims that it's fact. And I have to think that in our country, in the world, as far as legitimate scholars and people who are critiquing this book, there's only one person that still believes it's fact, and that's Dan Brown. Because it's been torn up and down all over the place. It has no resemblance to fact whatsoever. But he claims that all the descriptions of artwork, architecture, documents, and secret rituals in this novel are true. It's a fact. That's where we have a problem with it. Because he claims that Jesus Christ was not God, which means you and I aren't going to heaven. And our faith is futile. That's a pretty big claim, isn't it? We have to be able to defend that. We have to. Just like we had to be able to defend that the Bible is trustworthy. We can stake our eternal destiny on the fact that the Bible is true and Jesus Christ is God. We can do that. Let's go through some of the things real quickly that Dan Brown claims in his book regarding Jesus as God or the deity of Jesus Christ. First, he says this on page 234. Constantine, remember we talked about Constantine last week, commissioned and financed a new Bible, which omitted those Gospels that spoke of Christ's human traits and embellished those Gospels that made him godlike. The earlier Gospels were outlawed, gathered up, and burned. Wow. What are those Christians trying to hide? What are they afraid of that they would outlaw some of these books and only put books that talk about Jesus' divinity? Well, first of all, you know, has Dan Brown even read the Bible? Does the Bible cover up Jesus being human? Does it cover it up, or do we see it all over the place? Did he get tired? Did he get hungry? Did he weep? Oh, yeah, it showed his humanity all over the place. It covers up nothing. It shows both his human side and his deity at the same time, doesn't it? Here's what else Dan Brown claims in his book. Page 233, referring to the Council of Nicaea and the character Tebing, Lee Tebing states, until that moment in history, until the Council of Nicaea, 325 AD, Jesus was viewed by his followers, listen, as a mortal prophet, a great and powerful man, but a man nonetheless, a mortal, Dan Brown claims. Until 325 AD, Jesus, by all accounts, by all historical documents, all his followers just knew he was a man. A good man, yeah. A prophet, sure. But God, no. It wasn't until 325 AD, when the Council of Nicaea voted him God, that people started saying he was God. That's what he claims. Remember that. He also says this, page 233, by officially endorsing Jesus as the Son of God, Constantine turned Jesus into a deity. Jesus wasn't God until Constantine said he was God. What are we to do with that? Christians, if that's true, your faith is in vain. It's a big lie. It's a big joke. It's a hoax. He also said this. Jesus' establishment as the Son of God was officially proposed and voted on by the Council of Nicaea. A relatively close vote at that. You know, the funny thing is that we know exactly what happened at the Council of Nicaea. History records everything they did, everything they voted on. Dan Brown must not have known that. Because it didn't vote on this, and we're going to see that in a minute. We know what happened there. It's recorded. It was the first church ecumenical meeting where they got together and discussed what they had believed all those years, all those 325 years. He says this, the twist is, Tebing said, talking faster now, Constantine upgraded Jesus' status almost four centuries after Jesus' death. Upgraded his status. Jesus got an upgrade. From just a mortal man to deity in the 4th century at the Council of Nicaea, 325 AD. That's what he's saying. That's what he's claiming. And he has this conspiracy theory that wraps all this around. Finally, Dan Brown says, what I mean, TB encountered, is that almost everything our fathers taught us about Christ is false. Almost everything he taught us is false. Everything we've learned is false about Jesus Christ. Why? Because some power-hungry politicians in the church thought it'd be better to have Jesus be a God rather than just the mortal that he really was. He claims that's a fact and that he's got the proof to back it up. We've learned he has no proof whatsoever. Listen, it's fiction. It's a novel. Novel. But you know what? I've talked to people who believe it. And go, I didn't know that was all true. I didn't know the church hid all that stuff. Did you know that? There's people who believe it. They read it. They see it in a movie. They go, it must be true. Ron Howard directed it. It must be true. How can you not believe Opie? I mean, my goodness. It's got to be true. Jesus isn't, he was just a man. I mean, what difference does it make? It makes all the difference in the world. If he was just a man, listen, again, let's just go home. Let's go get a hamburger or something, you know, I'm hungry. I don't want to be here. If Jesus was just a man, let's just go, because this is a big waste of time. We're just kidding ourselves. And we've been fed a lie, if he's just a man. You know, other religions think he was just a man. Let's look at a few. Jehovah's Witnesses, the founder, Charles Russell, said that the man Jesus is dead, forever dead. Just a man, and he died. He's dead. Christian Scientists, Mary Baker Eddy, who is the founder, said God is indivisible. A portion of God could not enter man, neither could God's fullness be reflected by a single man. Meaning Jesus was just a man. There's no way he could have been both God and man. That's what they believe. Islam teaches that Jesus was a righteous man with a divine message sent to all mankind. Now, he was a good man, they say, a prophet even, but just a man. He was not God. He was just a man. A lot of religions teach that. A lot of religions teach that. You know, the world accepts Jesus the man because, you know what, it's non-threatening. Muslims by the billions will say, yeah, he's a prophet, yes, but God, no. Jews will say he's a teacher, yes, but Messiah, no. Liberal Protestants will say he's a great man and a great teacher, but divine, no way. No way. Let's just look at a couple claims from Dan Brown's book. Look at the historical truth. Just real briefly, we've touched on them over the last 3 weeks or 2 weeks. First claim that we want to look at tonight was we just read some of those in summary. Constantine declared Jesus as God divine. That Jesus became God by declaration in 325 A.D. That's what Dan Brown claims. What's the truth? It's very simple. The vote was not. There were 20 different things. We're going to see that in a second. 20 different declarations or votes that they had at the Council of Nicaea. They never once voted on, let's make, all in favor of making Jesus God? Raise your hand. It never happened. What they did, and you need to understand this, is they affirmed what they already believed because there are some threats coming against it. Meaning the church for those all those hundreds of years had overwhelmingly believed and taught and preached that Jesus was God in the flesh. No doubt about it. And along came a guy named Arius who started purporting that Jesus was just a mortal man. And he started getting some followers. So the church got together and said, listen, there's some people that are starting to follow. He was a deposed priest. And he started coming up with his own writings. And they were kind of whacked out. So they thought, you know, we need to settle this once for all. We need to just affirm what we believe. We need to have it down on paper. It kind of is just to show, again, their show of strength that what they already believe. That's what they're voting on, that Jesus was co-eternal with the Father. And the Holy Spirit was too. Read the Nicene Creed and see if they didn't believe that Jesus was God. That's what came out of the meeting. It wasn't a vote, hey, let's, you know, it'd be good for us if Jesus was God. No, they just affirmed what they already believed at this meeting to squelch this one guy who was coming along and trying to influence people to think that in his teachings that Jesus was just a mortal. Okay? There were 20 resolutions, none on the deity of Christ. None on the deity of Christ. We know this historically. They debated the deposed Bishop Arius' new teachings. There were new teachings coming along, and they knew they had to get something on paper at that point, thus the Nicene Creed, to affirm what they already believed. That was the purpose of the meeting, not that Jesus was divine. The second claim Dan Brown makes was that Christ was deified by a close vote. It was a close vote. All these preachers and pastors and religious people came together at the Council of Nicaea to vote, and Dan Brown says it was a close vote at that, on page 233. Well, what is the truth of the matter? Truth of the matter, the vote was 300-2. Not that Jesus was, let's vote him God, but we affirm that Jesus is God. That doesn't look like a close vote to me. And we know this is historical. How can Dan Brown say that? Well, you know, if you got questions about Jesus Christ, don't go to Dan Brown. Because it's a story. It's fiction. Okay, Dan Brown's not going to give you the answers that you need. It just takes a little bit of research to find these things out. Find out what's true, okay? So, the question we need to ask tonight, and it's an important question, is who did Jesus really claim to be? You know, I became a Christian in 1981, and a couple years after that, I had kind of a crisis of faith. You know, I was a young Christian. I was just learning about this Christianity, and I had heard that Jesus was God. I'd heard that preached many times. But you know what? I was going in my mind, is he? I wasn't sure. I was kind of a crisis of faith, and I was thinking, does it really matter? I was struggling with that issue. And I remember calling a friend of mine. He was kind of a mentor of mine. Ended up rooming with him and five other Christians, and I called Dave Rosenberger. I said, Dave, it was on like spring break, and I called him from my house because I was struggling. I go, man, I don't know that Jesus is God. Of course, I didn't know the Bible. I hadn't even read it all the way through. And I called him. I said, hey, I am kind of have this one question. I'm just wondering, is it important that I really believe that Jesus is God? Because I just have these doubts. And being the wise brother that he is, he said, you know, yeah, it's pretty important. And he didn't just say, oh, just believe it because it's in the Bible. He said, Bill, you need to figure this out. And he'd been a Christian for a long time. He said, you need to wrestle with this. You need to nail this down. And I did. And it bolstered my faith as I dug in. And I challenge you, don't just believe what I say tonight. I'm going to give you about 20 verses, 25 verses. We're going to look at a lot of verses tonight. Take them and look at them. Research it yourself. Was Jesus God? Look at the arguments that I make tonight. See if they hold water. For yourself, you need to wrestle with this. You need to have a settled peace in your heart that Jesus was indeed and is God. Okay? What is the truth about Jesus? First of all, who did Jesus claim to be? This is important. Here's just five key passages. It's just a spattering of the verses you can find in the Bible. Just a few, a sampling. John 1. And you can read, I gave you the whole reference. We'll just look at a couple of the verses. In the beginning, the Word already existed. In context, who is the Word that already existed? Jesus. You read the context, he's talking about Jesus. In the beginning, the Word already existed. He, Jesus, was with God, and he was God. Verse 3. He created everything there is. Nothing exists that he did not make. That who did not make? Jesus. Do you realize Jesus made everything? Jesus is the creator. Jesus made it all because he is God. Another verse in Philippians chapter 2. You can read the whole chapter. It's really good. Though he was God, talking about Jesus, he did not demand and cling to his rights as God. John 20, 28. Thomas exclaimed this. He said, my Lord and my God. You remember the story? Doubting Thomas. In the upper room, after Jesus rose from the dead, Thomas wasn't in the room the first time Jesus came. And he said, I'm only going to believe it if I can put my hand in his side and feel the nail scars on his hands. A little while later, Jesus came walking right through the wall. He said, hi, Thomas. Right there, buddy. Put it right there. Thomas, feel this. It says, Thomas worshiped Jesus and exclaimed, my Lord and my God. Oh, he believed it. Called him his God. Now, as a Jew, you don't go around calling people gods. You don't call people like Charles Haffey God. You get stoned. You get in trouble. If you're a Jew and you call somebody God, Thomas called him God. Now, let's look at Hebrews 1:8. The writer of Hebrews is making the case that Jesus was God, and he quotes from the Old Testament, Psalm 45. But to his son, he says, he's talking about God the Father, to his son, he says, your throne, O God. The Father's talking to the son. Your throne, O God, endures forever. Talking to the son. Father talking to his son, God. You get that? Your royal power is expressed in righteousness. Titus 2:13, Paul writing to Titus, while we look forward to that wonderful event when the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ will be revealed. You need to memorize some of these verses. You got to have them nailed down in your heart. These are key verses on the deity of Christ, okay? But we don't just have these verses. Jesus himself, we know, makes direct claims to his deity. And that's kind of important. You know, I mean, Charles Haffey made direct claims too. But did he back it up? Jesus made claims. Look at this verse in Mark 14. Again, the high priest asked Jesus, "Are you the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?" Whenever you see Son of God, that's the same as, "Are you God?" Because I have four boys and they're all human. Why? Because I'm human. I give birth, my children, my offspring are the same nature as I am. The Son of God is God. The high priest asked Jesus, "Are you the Messiah? Are you the Son of the Blessed One? Are you the Son of God? Are you claiming to be God?" Jesus said, "I am." Do you realize what he just said? Where else have we heard that? "I am." Whoops. Where else have we heard "I am"? Where was that spoken? You've seen the Disney videos. Prince of Egypt, right? Where? Wasn't it Mount Sinai? It was at the burning bush. Remember? When Moses was scared and God told you got to go back and you got to rescue all the children of Israel. And what does Moses say? Who do I tell them? If they ask me who sent you, who do I say sent me? And what does God say from the burning bush? "The I am sent you. The I am sent you." The high priest asked Jesus, "Are you the Son of the Blessed One?" "I am." You don't think that ticked them off? You don't think they knew exactly what he was saying? What was he saying? He was saying, "I am God." And then he goes on to say, "And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." Jesus was quoting from Daniel chapter 17, verse 14, a prophecy of the Ancient of Days and Jesus Christ coming in his glory before the Father. So he's claiming to be that Ancient of Days. And they knew that scripture as well, and that just enraged them. They continued on. "And the high priest tore his clothes, rent his garment. 'Why do we need any more witnesses?' he asked. 'You have heard the blasphemy.' What do you think? They all condemned him as worthy to death." Why? What did he do wrong there? He claimed to be God. And any time that a high priest would hear someone blaspheme, either worship something that wasn't God or claim to be God themselves, they were commanded to rip their garments. They would rip it in horror of what they just heard. And right when Jesus said, "I am, and you will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of glory," they ripped their garments and said, "Kill him." And everyone said, "Yep, we heard it. He claimed to be God." Most people are killed for what they do. Jesus was killed because of who he claimed to be. Here's another verse. John 10:30-33. Jesus was preaching and there was a bunch of religious leaders around him, Pharisees. And he said, "I and the Father are one." What does that mean? It means he's God. "I and the Father, we're one. We're the same." Again, the Jews picked up stones. They loved to pick up stones around Jesus. They just grab them all the time. Okay? Again, the Jews picked up stones. Why were they picking up stones? Were they just kind of cleaning up the neighborhood? They were going to kill him. Why? He claimed to be God again. "I and the Father are one." And they picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus said to them, "I have shown you many great miracles from the Father. For which of these do you stone me?" You see how Jesus' response was saying, listen, when the Messiah comes, you know that he's got to perform miracles to prove who he is. So Jesus went on the offensive and said, listen, I have proved who I am. You've seen the miracles. And it wasn't just pulling, you know, rabbits out of hats and levitating just a little bit, you know, or sitting in a fish tank for 6 days. You know, he didn't do those kind of tricks, no card tricks. He healed people that were blind since they're babies. He raised people from the dead. My goodness. People that were sick, he just touched them, lay a hand on them, and they would rise up and serve. And he says, I've done a lot of miracles. You've seen them all. Which one of these are you going to stone me for? And they said this, we're not stoning you for any of these, replied the Jews, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God. Now you might say, or hear somebody say, Jesus never claimed to be God in the Bible. Well, you know what? The Jews sure thought he did. And they were going to kill him for it. You claim to be God, that's why we're going to kill you. You can't do that. Charles Haffey would be a dead man if he lived back in that time. I am who I am. I am God. John 8, we have another verse. Jesus says, I tell you the truth, Jesus answered. Before Abraham was born, say this with me, I am. There he said it again, and he said it on purpose. I would love to see his face when he said it, because he knew it. He's yanking their chain. I am. He's saying, I'm God. Before Abraham, listen, these guys were saying, he was arguing with the Pharisees. And Jesus said, you know, Abraham is waiting for the day I came. And when he saw it, he was glad. Wait a minute. Abraham died a long time. What are you talking about? Abraham died hundreds of years ago. Jesus said, he was waiting for the day I came. And when he saw it, he was so glad. And they went, what are you talking about? You're not even 50 years old. Are you greater than our father Abraham? And Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Before Abraham was born, I am. I've been around before Abraham. I'm God, is what he said. Guess what they did? Picked up stones to stone him. Here's another verse, John 8, 19. They asked him, where is your father? The religious leader says, where's your father? Because he kept talking about his father. You do not know me or my father. Jesus replied, if you knew me, you would know my father also. Why? Because they are one. They are God. Our God is three in one. Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. One what and three whos. We have one God comprised of three entities. Not three separate gods. Oh, no. That would be blasphemy. Jesus never said he was another God. He said he is the God, along with the Father and the Holy Spirit, which make up the Trinity. And it's a beautiful picture of relationship in the Godhead. And Jesus claimed to be that very God. So he made claims to his deity, didn't he? Do you agree with me? Shake your head if you agree. Jesus claimed to be God. We see that in the Bible, right? It's important. Shake your head. I can see you. You're not shaking. Yes? Jesus claimed to be God. He almost got killed for it over and over and over, okay? But here's the deal. We know from the Bible, and good Christians and good Jews and good Muslims will tell you that only God is to be worshipped, right? You shall worship the Lord God and serve Him only, it says in Matthew 4. We read that all the way back to the Ten Commandments. Worship the Lord alone. In Deuteronomy, we read it again. Worship God alone. Worship only God. And what happens if you worship something other than God? The Jews will pick up stones to stone you. Okay? They'll reach down, start grabbing some stones. Or if you claim to be God, they're going to pick up stones to stone you. Worship God alone. You with me? We can only worship God. Matter of fact, we can go in the Bible, and there's people that try to worship things they think they should worship. There's people that try to worship angels. Here's one example. Let's see what the angel says. This is about John, the disciple John, who was on the island of Patmos. He was banished there. He said, I, John, in the book of Revelations, he says, I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I had heard and seen them, he was seeing a vision from an angel, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. But the angel said to me, do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers, the prophets, and of all who keep the words of this book. Worship God. The angel rebuked him, made him get up. Get up. What are you doing? Can you imagine? Angels were pretty cool. You see the description in the Old Testament there? If one just kind of came down right here, we would be tempted to fall on our faces in reverence and awe. And the angel said, don't you dare do it. You worship God. You don't worship me. You follow me here? We worship only God. Here's another example. There's a point where Cornelius wanted to worship Peter. Peter had done some miracles, and Cornelius, when he saw Peter, says, as Peter entered the house of Cornelius, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up, stand up. He said, I'm only a man myself. Don't worship me. I'll get in trouble. I'll get stoned. Get up. I'm just a man. Worship God alone. You see how he stopped him? It was for Jews back then. It was like, what are you doing? Get up quick. We know Herod, it says he accepted worship. Remember what happened to Herod? In Caesarea by the sea in the amphitheater. I've been there. You know what happened to him? It says when they called him, they said, you are like a god. He was sitting in this amphitheater. You know what happened? It says worms ate him from the inside out and he died on the spot. Because he didn't acknowledge that he wasn't God. He accepted it. He brought it, he said, bring it on. I'll take your worship. And worms ate him. Read it. It's exactly what happened. Here's another example of someone who wouldn't accept worship. Paul and Barnabas. In Lystra, they healed a crippled person because of his faith, and all the crowd just went wild. This guy had been crippled for a long time. And they were so impressed. It says they started calling him Zeus and gods of their gods, and they gave them new names. Paul and Barnabas, they gave them new names, and they wanted to worship him. They went and got some cows, and they were going to sacrifice them to Paul and to Barnabas. But when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of this, they tore their clothes. And they rushed out into the crowd shouting, men, why are you doing this? We too are only men, human like you. We're not gods. Worship God alone. You see the fear and the anxiety that would come in when someone would try to worship an angel or a human? And rightly so, wouldn't you agree? Who are we to worship? God alone. Now, this is kind of interesting. For to worship God alone, then, why did Jesus not only accept, but he asked to be worshiped? Jesus asked for and accepted worship. We have lots of examples. I'm going to give you a bunch of them. Even from the very beginning, remember in Matthew chapter 2, when the wise men finally found that little baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, what did they do? Did they pick it up and go, goo, 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 oh, cute baby? What did they do? What did the wise men do, it says, right there in the text? They bowed down and they worshipped this baby. You got to think about that. Just meditate on that. I've had four babies and I can't imagine if we're in the hospital right after the baby's born, he's wrapped up and we have visitors and people come in with gifts and gold and frankincense and they look at my baby and they go, oh my goodness, we worship you. I would grab, what are you doing? I mean, give me the gold and don't worship, okay? Get off your knees and give me the pack, that's okay. They worshiped that little baby from the very beginning. Jesus was worshiped. As a baby, he was worshiped, it says. And the text doesn't say anyone stopped him. Nobody picked up stones. Mom and dad didn't stop them from worshiping their baby. Why? Because they had seen visions independently of each other. Mary and Joseph, hadn't they? The angels told them, this baby is very special. Here's another example. What about the disciples? The disciples, after Jesus calmed the storm, we read about it in Matthew 14. It's a huge storm. They thought they were going to die. Jesus, with a word, calmed the storm. Just calmed it. Everything was calm. The rain stopped. It was calm. And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those in the boat, who were in the boat, worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. Truly you are God. Only God could do what we just saw. And they worshipped him. And nobody stopped him. And most of all, listen, Jesus didn't stop them. Do you see how Paul and Peter and the angels stopped them? Not so with Jesus. Jesus let them work. He accepted it. More examples. What about the blind man who was blind since birth and Jesus healed him? Remember, I love that story. The guy gets in trouble with the religious leaders because Jesus heals him. And the guy is so excited, he's telling everybody, I got healed, I was blinded. And they drag him into the synagogue, the leaders say, How did you get healed on the Sabbath? You can't get healed on the Sabbath. The guy goes, I don't know. I don't care. I got healed. I was blind. Now I can see. Do you want to meet the guy too? You want to meet Jesus? Whoever it is that healed me, he didn't even know at that point. You want to meet him? I don't even know who healed me, but I can see now. And he got in trouble. They were going to kick it. They kicked him out of the synagogue. Then he went around looking, and Jesus came up to him. And says, Jesus looked at him and says, and he didn't know Jesus was the one that healed him. Can you imagine just seeing for just, you know, a couple hours, and this guy walks up to you. Jesus walked right up and looked at him and said, do you believe in the Son of God? And the guy didn't know who he was, and he was humble at the point. He said, tell me who he is so I can believe. And he said, the one you're talking to is he. And the guy said this, I believe. And he worshiped Jesus right there in the spot. Jesus didn't stop him. He let him worship him. What about the women at the tomb after seeing Jesus risen from the dead? Matthew 28. Suddenly Jesus met these women. Greetings, he said. They came to him and clasped his feet and worshiped him. And Jesus said, don't worship me, I'm only a man. Is that what he said? No, he didn't say that. He said, then Jesus said to them, don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me too. He accepted their worship. They clasped his feet and worshiped him as God. And he let him do it. He didn't stop them. There's others. What about the leper who was healed? Matthew 8, who worshiped Jesus after he was healed. What about the synagogue official who Jesus raised his dead daughter and he worshiped Jesus? Jesus never stopped him. The Canaanite woman, Jesus healed her daughter and she worshiped him and he didn't stop her. What about Thomas after seeing him and saying, my Lord, my God, he didn't stop him. He received it. Who do we worship? God alone. Only God can be worshipped. Otherwise, you pick up stones and kill them. They didn't do that. And Jesus led them, therefore claiming once again, I am God. I am God. Not only that, we see that Jesus forgave sins. Who can forgive sins? Who forgives sins? Only God can forgive sins, right? When we sin, we don't just sin against each other. We sin against God. And only God can forgive sins. Jesus forgave sins. We see a couple examples here. The paralytic. Matthew 9, the story is told in all four Gospels, but we see it in Matthew 9 and Luke 5. I took a couple passages there. Jesus said, but so that you may know that the Son of Man, that I have authority on earth to forgive sins. He told everybody that. I have the authority on this earth to forgive sins. Whoa. I can forgive sins. You know, you don't say that lightly in his company if there's rocks around. Then he said to the paralytic, get up, take your mat, and go home, buddy. And that's exactly what he did. Well, that made some people pretty upset that this guy claims that he healed that guy and forgave his sins. This is what they said. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? And I ask you that question. Who can forgive sins but God alone? No one. Only God can forgive sins. If Jesus forgives sins, what does that make him? God! He forgave sins while he was on this earth. Here's another example with the sinful woman. Luke 7. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. The other guests began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Only God can forgive sins. And Jesus forgave sins all over the place. Thus making him equal with God. Dan Brown says this. He says that Constantine upgraded Jesus' status almost four centuries after Jesus' death. That until 325 AD, all the church fathers would have agreed that Jesus was just a man. That's what Dan Brown claims. Therefore, he says that all the writings that were thrown away were the ones that talked about Jesus being man, and We just bolstered the ones that talked about him being God, but that was after 325. Before 325, he's claiming everybody believed that he was a man. Now track with me here. Before 325, Dan Brown would say all the church fathers agreed Jesus was just a man. They all agreed that. But after 325, they suppressed it. So if that is true, if we look at the writings of the early church fathers, they should all agree that Jesus was just a man. That's exactly what Dan Brown says the conspiracy is. We won't find any writings that say he was God. Let me just give you six quotes from church fathers, writings that came before 325 AD. Let's look at just six. There's lots, there's hundreds. Justin Martyr, who lived between 100 and 165 AD, way before the Council of Nicaea, is quoted as saying in the First Apology, 63:15, the Father of the universe has a Son who was being the Logos and the first begotten is also God. Jesus is God. Clement of Alexandria lived between 150 and 215 AD, said both as God and as man, the Lord, talking about Jesus in context, renders us every kind of help and service. As God, he forgives sins. As man, he educates us to avoid sin completely. Another church father. These are church fathers that we revere down through history, way before the Council of Nicaea. Irenaeus said this, in order that to Christ Jesus, our Lord and God and Savior and King, according to the will of the invisible Father. I think they believed that he was God. These were just samplings of what the church believed back then. Hippolytus said, if then the Word was with God and was also God, quoting John 1, what follows? Would one say that he speaks of two gods? I shall not indeed speak of two gods, but of one. Of two persons, however, and of a third economy, the grace of the Holy Ghost, the Trinity. One God in three. Melito of Sardis, in 177 AD, referring to Jesus, said, he was man, yet he is God. Now, how did Dan Brown miss that? Ignatius of Antioch, in 110 AD, said, God, existing in flesh, even Jesus our Lord. God, existing in flesh, even Jesus our Lord. They believed that Jesus was God. Our church fathers. Dan Brown is out to lunch. We do have the history. Will the real Jesus please stand up? Is he God? Is he man? Is Brown right or is the Bible right? You know, God gives, or Jesus gave his disciples this quiz at Caesarea Philippi. Caesarea Philippi is a very interesting place. It's about 30 miles north of the Dead Sea. It's where most people think the city of Dan, the northern city, Dan, is located. There's much Baal worship going on there. They even have altars to Baal even today. They don't use them, but they found remnants of these altars. I've been here. Here's a picture of what it looks like. It's a very beautiful place. There's a fountain. There's water that rushes. It's kind of the headwaters of the Jordan River, actually. So it's very lush here. I've been right here. I've been in these caves. And all around this big cave here, there are these inlets that are dug out, and they're places where they put gods, pagan gods, idols that they would worship. This is a very pagan area. The god that they worship most was the god of Pan. There's a placard that talks all about this god Pan. He's a god of war, god of anger. And people believed at that time that this huge cave, this was the entrance to hell, that the god Baal, you've heard of Baal in the Bible, the god Baal would actually ascend and descend out of this cave to go to Hades. They called this cave the gates to Hades because of that reason. It's kind of interesting. In this passage we're going to read, I'm not going to read this part, but right after this passage, when Peter makes a good confession, what does Jesus say? Right here, sitting right in this area, talking to his disciples, he tells Peter, listen, on my church I'll build this rock. On this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail. Right here in this pagan area where Jesus was looking right over Peter's shoulder at that cave that they call the gates of Hades. And it was pagan worship all over that place. And Jesus said, all these ideas about God and all these false gods, they will not prevail against the truth, the rock of Christianity. Jesus gives the disciples a pop quiz. He asks them two questions. I'm going to ask you the same questions tonight. Who do others say that I am? Jesus asked his disciples that. Matthew 16, right here in Caesarea Philippi. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. Basically, they're saying you're a really good guy, you're a really good teacher, somebody that a good role model. Because all those guys they're talking about are good role models, but they're men. You're just a man, though. That's what they're saying. The same thing Dan Brown's saying. Same thing that some religions are saying. He's a good guy, but you know, he's just a man. That's who they're saying you are, Jesus. Jesus said this. He continued on. Well, who do you say that I am? He asked them, who do you say that I am? I'm sure there was silence. His disciples thought, oh man, I don't want to say it because there's a lot of rocks around here. But of course, Peter, being Peter, stepped up to the plate. And Peter answered, you are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. You are God. And Jesus said, you're right. And you'll note, none of the disciples picked up rocks to stone Peter. Peter looked at Jesus and said, you're God. And everybody agreed that he was God. I love what C.S. Lewis said. This quote, we're almost finished here. This is a long quote, but I love it. C.S. Lewis said this, I want to prevent anyone from saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him, about Jesus. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That is the one thing we must not say. A man who is merely a man and said the sort of things that Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on a level with the man who says he is a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman, or something worse. You can shut him up. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come up with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that option open to us. He did not intend to. You got to make a choice. People, we have to make a choice. Jesus said you need to make a decision. I'm going to give you a chance to make a decision tonight. Who do you say that Jesus is? Eternity hinges on Jesus' identity. He says this in John chapter 8. I told you that, listen very carefully, this is Jesus. I told you that you would die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be, you will indeed die in your sins. You can't just say, well, he might be God or he may be a man. I don't know. If you don't believe that he is who he claims to be, you will die in your sins. That you will not be heaven bound. You'll be hell bound if you don't believe the claim that he is God. That's why it's important, isn't it, that we talk about this. Your eternal destiny depends on whether you believe this or not. That's what Jesus was saying. It's essential for you to be able to claim that, like it says in Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you'll be saved, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Are you confessing that Jesus is Lord, or are you confessing he's just a good teacher? If he's just a good teacher, then you're following someone who's he's not a good teacher because he's lying all over the place. He's telling everybody that he's God, but you don't believe it. You just think he's a good teacher. Well, good teachers don't lie. And if you think he's just a good teacher, then he's a lying teacher because he told everybody, I'm God. And he accepted worship and he forgave sins and he performed miracles. And he kept saying, I'm God. I'm God. And if you don't believe it, kill me, and in 3 days find out who's God. Do you believe it? A lot of people out there are saying things about Jesus. Jesus says, what do they say about me? Oh, he's just a good guy. A lot of people, Dan Brown, a lot of Dan Browns, a lot of religions talking about who Jesus is, trying to decide, well, he's this, he's that, but he's just a man. Jesus looks at you and says, well, who do you say? Because listen, Dan Brown, listen to me. Dan Brown is not going to stand next to you on Judgment Day. But God, I read it in a book. You're just a man. You're just a man. You know what? You're going to be held accountable for that. If you don't believe I'm the one I claim to be, you will indeed die in your sins. Do you believe it? Jesus looks at you and says, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Do you believe that I'm God? If you don't, you'll die in your sins. It's that important. Who do you say that I am? Jesus said this, last verse. Jesus told him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. You can't get to the Father except through Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh, come down to this earth, just like steel shared, came down to this earth to die for your sins. And you've got a bunch of them. And you need a Savior. Oh, I love the Savior. Do you? Or are you just giving lip service? Do you realize you need... Why is he called Savior? Because you need to be saved from something. It's your sin. It's your lies. It's your bad attitudes. It's your hatefulness. It's your selfishness. The things that you've said that you shouldn't have said. The anger. All those things deserve death, the Bible says. They deserve death. The only way you can get to heaven is to be perfect. To be 100% perfect. And if you think you're perfect, then you are sorely deceived. Because you are not. And you deserve death. You deserve hell. You deserve it. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says. Oh, that's so harsh, Bill. Well, you know what? It is harsh. That's why Jesus, God himself, came down as a human to pay for your sins for you. He's going to ask you that question. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? One day, he's going to look you square in the eye and he's going to ask you that question. Who do you say? I don't care about Dan Brown. I don't care about your family. I don't care about your religious past. Jesus is going to look at you and say, who do you say I am? You. No one else is around. You answer me. Who do you say that I am? Well, I never really thought. You what? Who do you say that I am? If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you'll be saved. Saved from what? Your sins. That's why you need a Savior. You can have eternal life tonight. Why? Because Jesus is God. He's not just some man. He is God, and he paid for your sins on the cross. God paid for your sins on the cross. Jesus Christ paid for your sins on the cross. And he looks at you and says, who do you say that I am? You better say God. Who died for my sins. He says, I want to offer you eternal life as a free gift, Jesus says. But you got to acknowledge who I am and what I did for you. And then you'll be saved. Proud people won't say that. Because if you acknowledge, listen, if you acknowledge he's God, then you got to do what he says. You know, if you acknowledge that Charles Haffey is God, then you got to do what that guy says. We know Jesus was God. People don't like to submit to authority, do we? Someday Jesus is going to ask you, who do you say that I am? Are you going to say, you are my Lord and my Savior, the one who paid for all my sins? Maybe tonight. What is this, June 3rd? Is this June 3rd? Yes. Maybe June 3rd will be the night that you say, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you paid for my sins. You could say that tonight. I did it back in 1981. My life has never been the same. I wrestle with that question. Is Jesus God? Jesus is God. Did he die for my sins? Absolutely. And now you need to trust him. Not just give him lip service. You got to trust him to forgive all your sins. Should we do that? Let's pray. Oh God, we thank you tonight. We thank you that we don't just have to believe by faith that you're God. We have seen that you are God. We know that you're God. We believe that you are God tonight. It doesn't matter what Dan Brown or anyone else says. We believe you're God. And oh God, I know there's people here tonight that have not trusted you completely. They didn't even know these things. They didn't understand what it means to have you be God. A perfect sacrifice. And tonight they understood that. And I pray, God, that they would humble themselves. Just like we see in the Bible. All those examples of people falling on their faces and worshiping you as God. I pray that tonight people would do that. Tonight, people that don't know you would say, God, I believe. Oh, tonight, June 3rd, I believe. This is the night, God, I'm going to believe. I say yes to you, Jesus, that you died for my sins. Thank you. I want that gift of eternal life. The best way I know how, I want to receive that gift that forgives all my sins. Because, Jesus, you are God and you paid for them all. And I want that. Come into my heart right now. Come into my heart. Jesus Christ, God, my King, my Savior, come into my life. Forgive me of all my sins. And thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you love me enough to die for me. Thank you for giving me that gift. Thank you so much. You know, if you prayed that, if you said, Jesus, tonight is the night I want to trust you as my Savior. If you said that, and you know that's true in your heart, that you have sensed that you finally understand that you need to make Jesus Lord. I want to tell you something. Jesus is so thrilled. You don't have to beg him. He is there, man. He is through the door. You just knock on the door and he is there. He's been waiting your whole life for this moment. And I just want you to do one thing. If you made that decision tonight and you said, Jesus, yes, tonight's my night. If you made that decision with everyone's heads are still bowed, I just want you to do one thing. I want you to reach over and just touch the person next to you, just on their hand or their thigh. Just give them a little touch right now. Don't be embarrassed. My goodness, you've got a God that loves you and died for you. Don't be embarrassed to tell somebody. Just reach over right now and touch somebody. That will tell them that you made that decision. And they will help you, or they'll find someone who can help you understand what you made, what you decided. Because there's things that you need to understand. You don't understand everything right now. Touch him right now. In doing so, saying, I made that decision tonight. And then come find me, or come find Steele, or Michael, or Mac. Any of these leaders. Josh or Derek, come find these guys and say, I just made that decision tonight and I need some help. We'll get you a Bible. We'll get you help because you got a God who loves you and you are heaven bound. And you're heaven bound. Amen. Amen.